I'm Sonia Morton Firth, and today you're tuned in to the Sonia Morton Firth Show. My guest is the beautiful Abigail Barnes. Abigail quit her extremely successful career in the corporate life following a stroke at the age of 32. She is now an award-winning entrepreneur and speaker and trains people on her 888 program, showing them how to redefine time for greater work-life balance. Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Abby, tell me a little bit about yourself and perhaps your defining moments in life that's got you to where you've got to today.
Oh, that's such a great question. So I would say that years ago, as a little girl, when I was eight, my mum took me and my brother and sister to the Royal Exchange, and we went on a tour of the Bank of England. I don't know if you've ever done this.
I've never been on the tour, actually. I go out, obviously, the Royal Exchange, you pass by it every day, but I've never been on a tour.
Yeah, as a little girl, I was just so in awe of all the busy adults that were just rushing by. And it really stuck with me as a, I want to be one of those people. I then would read books about Richard Branson and what he was up to, and Anita Roddick at the time, who had set up the Body Shop. And there was something in me that always wanted to run my own business, but I had no idea. I mean, I had these idols, if you like, who were
great entrepreneurs.
Yeah, right? On the pedestal, Branson, yeah. But I had no roadmap, no idea of how to actually get there. But I'd also then, on the other hand, had the jobs that I'd worked in and the network that I was starting to build. And I just knew how to do that. So every time it came up in me that I want to run my own business, I want to do my own thing, I just didn't know how. So I just carried on going from job to job to job.
And I guess it's something that they don't teach at schools. They don't really have an entrepreneur lesson that you can do. It's almost like we're taught to be employees, not run our own businesses. So what happened then when you got this job after university?
So that's the interesting point, actually, that you make, because I studied business and marketing, so I had an idea of business, but it was always very grounded in economics and macroeconomics and how that all works. So there was no real step-by-step of how you start a business and what you do. And also in those days, people weren't really doing it in the same way that you can now. I mean, we are living in the most unbelievably incredible times.
For entrepreneurs, it's amazing.
I've never seen anything like it. It is absolutely amazing. So I just kind of did what I was good at, which was the marketing in these big finance companies. And every time I had this calling in me that I wanted to do something different, I went and got another job and learnt more stuff and met more people and did more things and went to more parties and got better handbags and got better clothes and drank better champagne.
Yeah, oh, wow. Cause that's sounds,
all the, yeah, that's I mean, all, you know, that's all the that's all the important things. Yeah. But there was just always something. I guess the best way to describe it was like there was a hole in my soul.
I had a similar experience myself. I was in the finance industry for about 20 years, and it was that feeling of being successful but unfulfilled.
Yeah, that's a very good way of describing it. And I just didn't know what success was, and enough was never enough. And I was surrounded by a path and people who were treading the path, and they didn't have enough. And so it was very clear that this was option A. And I knew there was an option B, but I just didn't know anyone else that did it, and I didn't know how to do it.
And I guess so there was a risk.
Yeah, there's always a risk, because nobody you know, if you don't know anybody who's done it, then it kind of, you are the product of the people you spend the most time with, is a great Jim Rohn quote that I now know, but I had no idea who these people were.
So at that stage, you had everything in terms of financial rewards, but you had this little gap, this sort of inside thing that was saying it's you don't feel fulfilled.
Yeah, so I guess the best way to describe it was I was just searching. I was like a taxi with a light on, although with Uber, Ubers don't have lights, but like a taxi, a black cab with a light on, just searching and no idea how to make myself happy. And then the path became clear whether I liked it or not.
And how did that happen?
One day, 7 years ago now, it was 25th of February 2012, a very cold day in Boston. I woke up in my friend's parents' guest room, having flown over there for a business trip. We were catching up for the weekend to hang out, and she came in to see me that morning and said, "How are you? Are you ready to get up?" And Sonia, I had a really bad headache. For the sake of sort of time in this, because this story could be quite a long one, but I'll sort of tell you the short version of the story. I said to my friend, "This headache doesn't feel like a normal headache." Very quickly, I started to get lights, black and white lights flashing before my eyes. And I actually thought I was having a migraine. But about this time, I then discovered I couldn't breathe. So I'm laying on the bed, unable to breathe, and the room is full of her family. And at this time, I had literally gone into survival mode because I thought I was going to die. And so I hit death's door and I say, "Is this it?" And I get a voice back saying, "It is if you want it to be." And I said, "No, not right now. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready. Give me a second chance." And I was instantly hit by wave after wave after wave after wave of regret.
What were you regretting?
I was regretting that I had never truly lived, that I had been alive for 32 years, but never truly lived, that I had been bemoaning my life of having everything, but never really truly living.
So presumably, people have those regrets at the age of 80, 90 when they are on death's door, but you're 32 years of age, which is nothing, you know, very young. So you're having all these regrets, and what did they say? What was wrong with you? Did they know what was wrong with you?
So yeah, so to speed up the story, to sort of fast forward, get to the hospital, they're trying to work out what's happened to me. They couldn't work it out. I get then taken to another hospital, Boston, Massachusetts General Hospital, which it actually turns out is the best place to be in the world if you've had what I had. And I found out what I had 24 hours later when a doctor came into the cubicle I was in, shook me and said, "You've had a stroke."
Wow.
And I said,
"I'm 32, presumably."
"So can I go to work on Monday?"
Oh my. That was your first instant reaction, "Can I go to work?"
Because I was so in this world of work and what it, if I was alive, then I needed to go to work because I hadn't died, so I just needed to carry on. I mean, I hadn't nothing else. I had no idea of what else to do. I mean, I hadn't actually died. I was there to do work. What else?
So you must have been very dedicated to your work.
Yeah, I think like work and what I did was life. There wasn't really any balance in life. It was about the career. And I guess maybe sort of taking that back, it was from seeing these busy women when I was 8, and I thought that that's what they did. They just all worked,
yet
all
you,
the time.
Yet you just had this little voice at the moment of death's door saying, "You're going to live with regrets." So how did you change that? How did you turn this around to, I guess, living a life of no regrets?
So yeah, I guess that sort of the voice was, if you were to die now, you would regret your life. What had you done? So from that day, it was then a commitment to, well, this is my one life, this is my second chance, how do I want to live it? And what do I want my legacy to be when I leave this planet? So next time, when my time is up, when my number is really up and I feel ready, does anybody ever feel ready? But anyway.
But at least you'd be able to put your hand on your heart and say, I don't regret what I've done.
I played full out.
And so what does that look like? What does Abby playing full out mean? So I know you're no longer in corporate life. You've set up your own business. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I started my own business. It's called Success by Design Training. And in the core business, we work with businesses to help them scale and grow. And then on the other side, we've just started a new arm of the business called the 888 Training, where we are working with individuals and progressive corporates that want to help people to get a work-life balance.
And did this come from that whole situation of really living life with no regrets?
It sort of came from, I guess, maybe looking back at how I'd lived my life, what I hadn't done, what I would do now. I know better, because we can only do what we do in life based on what we know. So if you don't know any better, you'll do what you do. But now I know better, I must do better. So I started to investigate all sorts of things, from how sleep affects your health, affects your mental health, how what you eat affects you, and then how to be the most productive you can be in your career without that being your entire life. So working out what value it is you bring to a company that you work for and what value you're getting in return.
So is that in terms of what, so health, health and fitness, sleep, and get and understanding the value of work and how that should balance out in your life. Is that sort of the core principles of the 888?
So the 888 is it's the ideal way to divide 24. So 24 divided by 3 is 8.
Use my maths there.
I sometimes 24. Joke that I teach people how to do division. So because this is sort of a very high-level way of doing it, I say to people, it is not necessarily aspirational, it is not necessarily what you're going to want, but it is the best way for you to start to see where in your life you're out of balance. And I have to pre-qualify what I say, because the first thing I say is 8 hours working. Now, the majority of people will never spend 8 hours working.
Well, specifically in the city as well, they either work stupid hours, but are they actually working? And 9 times out of 10, I remember sitting in the office thinking, well, I've got to wait till my boss leaves before I can leave.
And that's the interesting thing. We'll come on to that in a minute. And then 8 hours sleeping. And then the final one is 8 hours living. So in the 8 hours living, that is everything else. So what we're teaching in the 888 training is for people to identify how many hours they're working, how many hours they want to be working, how to be more productive. Is the job that they're in the right job for them? Is the career that they're doing and the path that they're progressing the right one? Then when it comes to sleep, how many hours sleep do they need? Like, I need 7 hours and 30 minutes. Mm. And sleep requirements are from 7 hours to 9 hours. And we've started to work with sleep specialists to look into this more. And then the final part with the living is that commuting is included in that. So how can you best commute?
Ah, interesting, because usually it's stuck on a really hot and sticky tube, particularly at the moment.
So in this day and age, it's literally things like, what can you download to your phone? Mm. How can you maximise that time? Maybe you're listening to a book on Audible. Maybe you're meditating. Do you know how to meditate? Maybe you're catching up on TV shows. Maybe you're downloading the box sets from Netflix to your phone. So that you start to become in control of your time, and your time is not in control with you. You know, people say time ran away with me.
Yes. Oh, I didn't have time to do this or
you're
that.
You're not a victim to your time. Yes. You're the boss of your time. So we teach people how to own their time. And then the reason that we are excited about taking it into companies is, as you just said, about people who would sit and wait for their bosses to go. Some of the biggest problems that businesses are facing in this day and age is absenteeism, presenteeism.
Presenteeism.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is what you were just saying, yes, which is where I'm present, but I'm not actually working. And they actually say that presenteeism causes more damage to the productivity of businesses, because businesses don't know who's doing what.
Yes.
And then obviously mental health and well-being. And even it can impact things like do people want to work for a company? So how easy is it for companies to recruit people into their business? And then how easy is it for businesses to retain people? So part of our role with the 888 is to help the individuals to understand that they're responsible for their time, but to also help the businesses to understand what impact that has for them. And so then coming back to this whole thing of it's a value exchange. Mm, yes. So when you feel much more valued, you feel much more ready and happy to contribute, because it's teamwork that makes the dreams work.
And if you were, if somebody out there is listening to this and they're sitting there in a job that they may not like, and they're trying to discover what their purpose is in life, is there any tips that you would give them, or any takeaways that they could take from this?
So that is such a good question, because I've got some top tips. Maybe I'll give five. So the first one is your path, your journey is what helps you to find your purpose. So the only way to know what your purpose is by knowing what you don't want, then you know what you do want. So follow the breadcrumbs, follow the paths, all paths lead to your goal. So there is no right, that's the second thing, there is no right, there is no wrong. There's just the willingness and the ability to keep taking actions, even when you feel like you have failed, quote unquote, in other people's eyes, which is then the third point. It matters how you feel more than anybody else, because you live with you 24/7, so nobody else can own or have an impact on what it is you should be doing, because ultimately all of the answers are inside us individually. So anybody that we speak to, their role entirely is to help coach those answers out of us rather than give us a five-step blueprint plan. Oh, this worked for me, it'll work for you. Mm. That's not life, unfortunately. There is no magic pill. There is no shortcut. It's just the breadcrumbs that look like they are going nowhere. And it was a great quote from Steve Jobs, who said, you can only join up the dots when you look back. So that means you have to have the courage to take the steps. The fourth thing is to have gratitude for the job that you're currently in, and start to see all of the good things, all of the good points of what it's bringing to you, to your life, to your day-to-day, how it's paying the bills, the people you're meeting, the experiences you're getting, because as you well know, when you run a business, there's so many things you didn't know that you need to learn, and you have to learn them on the job. So they always say to learn these things while you're being paid by somebody else. That's a great Gary Vee quote, is learn on somebody else's dollar or dime.
And would you advise that if someone wanted to set up their own business?
And then that's the fifth thing, is set your business up on the side.
Okay.
Because when we come back to it with the 888, you have enough time. You don't necessarily need to be watching certain TV shows that you are. You can outsource certain things around the house. You can look at maybe what would you need to do to live closer to the office so you don't have to commute. How could you do things at the lunch times, after work, at the evenings, at the weekends? And then sort of that, those are my five tips. But the final way to test what you want is, if you're doing it, you want it. If you're talking about it,
you don't want it. Yeah.
And a mentor of mine always used to say, the only way to know is when the rubber hits the road. We can sit in a classroom and we can learn everything, but the only way to know is to give it a try. And will it work? Might have worked for me, might not work for you. How do you know? Give it a try. And that's sort of the big thing, is the self-belief and the courage and the imposter syndrome, and how do you overcome the fear, and all of these questions that people ask. And we teach mindset. It literally is, you either have regret or you try.
And that living with regret.
And living with regret
goes back
is
to
the
what you felt.
Yeah, it's the worst
that
feeling
in
the world.
In your life, yes.
And I'm fortunate enough to be able to say, I've been there. And some people have their wake up call from a variety of different things, from careers ending, from redundancies, from health incidents for themselves, from health incidents for friends and family. And some people don't get their wake-up call until the very end.
Do you see this happening at a certain age group? I mean, we talk about midlife crisis. And for me, I came out of corporate life at the age of 40. It was almost like a cliche. Life begins at 40, and that was my sort of turning point. And what I've seen, particularly in men, is they have that sort of midlife crisis point, and that could manifest itself in different ways. Do you think there's a sort of age where that...
So that's such an interesting question, because the answer is you wake up when you wake up. Fundamentally, I see people like a pot of water on the oven. It's boiling and it's boiling and it's boiling, and some will boil and some will be ready and some won't. You know the number of people who talk about, I want to do something. So they say you're either interested or you're committed. If you're committed, then you will make a change. Unfortunately, some people, they have a particular life and a lifestyle, and unless their partner's on board, things can't change because things cost a certain amount of money, etc. They've got children in schools and all of this. So I guess you and I, we were fortunate that we were both in different situations whereby we were free to make the choices and do what we wanted to do. And so that's where I do think that some people are sort of starting to do it later in life. And perhaps a certain age does trigger a it's now or never. But then maybe some of that is just that it is
cliche almost,
of people at those ages. So I guess the answer is yes and no. I don't know. Yeah.
And are your clients, Abby, are they mostly female or male, or do you have a mixture of both female and male clients?
So interestingly enough, I've gone through phases of attracting female clients and then male clients and then saying I was only going to work with female or only going to work with male. So I would say it's 50-50.
Okay. And you also do quite a lot of speaking on stages. I know that's when we started chatting and meeting. What sort of stage or events are you running any events at the moment?
So it all started with, right at the very beginning, I realised I actually enjoyed sharing a message with an audience, and that was the best way, the quickest way to reach as many people as possible, because one person has the ability to impact 10 other people. So if you speak to an audience of 50, 100, 500, 1,000, you do the maths, it then starts to reach more people. And obviously we're in a phase with the 888 where we want to reach 1 million people by 2025.
Okay. Wow.
And so obviously speaking is really the best and the quickest way to do that, by sharing the story. But so what I'm doing with the 888 is I'm living, and we are all living, practicing what we preach, if you like. So
talk to me about
analysing
living
every part
that,
of it.
Because I know you're very fit and healthy, and you go to the gym. What other things are you sort of living in that 888?
So for me, health is truly your wealth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Money will never be able to buy it back. No. I mean, the late Steve Jobs sadly wasn't able to buy his life back with all the money in the bank. So that's quite a big driver for me. So everything that affects potentially my health is something that I will seriously consider and look into, and analyse for myself if I change things, what it will do. So I've started to analyse the sleep seriously, what I do in my sleep habits before I go to sleep. Does turning the phone off, does turning it onto airplane mode at a certain time really affect how I feel in the morning?
Have you worked that out? Because I'm doing that. I've done it over the last few weeks.
It actually does. How much time I would spend on Instagram, Facebook, the social platforms at certain times of the day. This is why we started to work with a sleep doctor, because we're looking at what's going on. Mm. I mean, this is the thing that almost struck me with the stroke, was that it was brewing to happen, because there was a medical reason why it all happened, but you could never know. And I mean, it could have happened on the plane. That was the thing about it all. So I really see everything as an opportunity to be grateful for what you've got. So coming back to what other changes I've made this year, I've been reviewing what I've been eating, what I've been drinking. I decided to give drinking a miss for a few months.
Must be a difficult one.
At the start of the year. And interestingly enough, it's not been a difficult one, because I feel better. I don't wake up with hangovers and I don't feel like the blues. I don't feel slower. And also it affects your ability to sort of get fitter, get slimmer, get trimmer. And all of these are added bonuses. And just looking into the research, and this is it, I have literally become a sleuth on everything. I went to Warwick University the other week to look into happiness and the impact of happiness on life, a 10-year study that they've been doing into it. So I am immersing myself into everything because the 888 is the legacy. And so I now truly feel like I'm ready to die.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
But I don't want to, because so many amazing things are going to happen and are happening every day. But I guess to qualify that, I feel like if I did, then I've done what I finally started to do, what I came here to do.
Which your legacy, you talked about earlier on in the interview, but your 888 program is your legacy.
Yeah.
So Abby, where can people find out more about you?
So the best place to go to is our website, successbydesigntraining.com. You can also find me on all social platforms as A Barnes Author. And if you follow me on Instagram, you'll get the behind the scenes on the stories. Facebook, we've got Facebook group, the 888 community. And I guess this is the best place to sort of see in action what is going on with the 888, how it's being tried and tested, the challenges that we're doing and the way we're actually living it.
Because you're living and testing this all the time.
Constantly.
Wow. Finally, I ask this question to all my guests. If you were to write a message in a bottle for future generations to read, what would that message be?
This is such an interesting thing, because I guess what would you put in the bottle and how much would you write? But on the basis that people would probably want you to get to the point, I'd probably put in the bottle, trust yourself, do it now.
Abby, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on my show. Thank you so much for being
here
today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.